It's great. Just turn to the person on the left and right to say hello to them, and maybe you haven't said hello to them this morning. Just greet them in the name of the Lord. We are a family, and just quickly while you're greeting one another, we want to just Wayne Powell, just want to just condolences for his losing his brother. May the Lord be gracious to you, and may you be strengthened through this time. And then for Norman and the family, for the promises of a young little girl that's been promised through Gran, and it came through on Thursday, was confirmed. So we give God all the praise for that. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, you've been ministering to us this morning, and I just thank you, Lord, as your word comes, that the power of God would be evident here today. Lord, the finished work of the cross is a reality, and Lord, you want to teach us so much more about it, but not only to teach us, but Lord, that we would live in the fullness of that. So Lord, will you open up our ears and our hearts to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, and that Lord, that as we hear, the transformation will come to bring an action plan in all our lives to go and do what you're instructing us through you, Holy Spirit, now, in Jesus' name. Amen. The topic that I want to continue with today is the kingdom of God in the Holy Spirit. And if I'd like you to turn in your Bibles again to the text that we're using, is from Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. You should know it by now. This is the fourth week we're dealing with that scripture, and the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us in an incredible way through this word. I'll read it again. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you go and look at that from the original Greek, it doesn't put in the word the. So if you read it in the original Greek, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in Holy Spirit. Now, it might be construed to be a play on words, the, but I think if you read the original Greek, sometimes the can get in the way. And if those there, we sometimes think it's the Holy Spirit is a medium or a substance that we work through. But if you take the out, it becomes the person, God, the Holy Spirit. And I want to expand upon that today. And I really just do believe God will minister to us and open up our hearts and our minds as we look into that. So firstly, in the context of that, the kingdom of God can only go forward in Holy Spirit. There's a reality of that. It's either in or out of that. And the Bible is very clear when we look at that. There are two states that we can find as born-again Christians. You can either be carnal or you can be spiritual. And that's a reality as we look at the church. And I think there hasn't been much teaching in this. And I want to just trust God that as we open up the Word of God in this area, that freedom would come to us and liberty would come, and God will open up our minds and we would change our lives. So, as I just explained, what is the difference between carnality and spirituality? Firstly, carnality comes from the Latin word for flesh. Carnal means flesh. But the Greek word behind that is this word called sarx. S-A-R-X. It's the flesh, it's the sinful nature. Some of the translations talks about the sinful nature, the presence of an ability within us in our bodies to do evil. And that's contrary to God's Spirit. And then spirituality comes from the Greek word pneuma. And we know that there's a reference to the Holy Spirit always when we talk about wind, that the wind comes in, the power of God comes through the wind. And we have this state within us that we have this opposing powers that work within our being. It's of the flesh, which is the carnality, and that of the Spirit of God. And we can either be dominated and ruled by either. And this is the fight that we have. As a young Christian, I was never taught about this, is that we got on and said, no, well, you just need to serve God. But we never heard about this fight that we have to fight with, to deal with, especially this area of the flesh. There's a wonderful scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 13. If you live according to the sinful nature, that is the flesh, the sarx, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. So the Bible tells us how we're constituted. You can go to psychologists, they don't really understand how we're made. But the Bible tells us we're made up of a body, spirit, and a soul. Now the spirit, we know that when we become born again, God comes and renews our spirits, and the Bible says we become a new creation. And part of the soul realm is the mind. And in Corinthians it says is that we have the mind of Christ, and that mind has to be renewed, and has to be renewed through the Word. And the Word, as the Word comes, it saturates us and changes the way we think and we act, and we're all in that process of doing that. But now the body is very important. We need to live in this tent that God's put it. This is the body, that where the spirit and the soul is found. We have to look after the body. But there's something that the Bible seems to tell, and we can't always understand. There's something in the body that holds us back. And as we see here, it seems to be the sinful nature, the socks, that's prevalent in all our lives. And as Romans says here, this thing has got to be put to death. Now that's your and my responsibility. How do we put this thing to death? Now I'm not getting undressed here, but this is by an example. This is the snake that's within you. The snake that lives in all of us, called the socks. It's prevalent in all our lives. And I'm holding it the wrong way, because this is the head. And if I hold it by the head, it's going to bite me, because it can get around. The Lord said to Moses when he turned his staff into a snake, he said, pick it up by the tail and hold it. Now, I want to tell you a story about a year ago. I was down with my sister. They live in George. They live on a small holding. And you enter the house through the garage, and we went out. She says, let me go and show you my fruit trees. So we went out to go look at the fruit, and as we walked into the garage, there was this boomslang. And my sister, being a farmer girl now, was out with a broom, ta-dang, ta-dang, clopping this thing. And it was a small one, but a snake's a snake. And she said, grab the spade. And we grabbed the spade, and what did we do? We banged it, ta. And what did we do? We took its head off. We smacked its head off. And when the head was off, it was dead. And we could take the remains away. And you see, I want to just say to this snake that lives within you is something that's called the flesh that needs to die. It's a fight that you will fight on a daily basis. You might not recognize it, but it's the evil nature that comes through you. And it predominantly comes out as selfishness. We all fight with this area of selfishness, and it has to be put to death. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. So there's an aspect of this flesh in our lives that needs to be put to death on a daily basis. And I want to expound today that I bring good news to you, that you can overcome the socks that's within you, the sinful nature that's within you. And you can live victoriously. Live victoriously. And I'm going to expound that today as we just examine God's word. How do we live a victorious life in Christ? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, the flesh, the lusts of the flesh are against the spirit, and the spirit is against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. You see, we need to learn how to overcome and rule the flesh, that it can be put down. Paul said to the church in Corinthians, and I'll read from Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. I feed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and now you're still not able, for you're still carnal. For you are full of envy, strife, and divisions. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? And this is a problem in the church today, is that the promises are given to the church, what God wants to do for you, but the church is not taught that they need to grow out of carnality into being spiritual in Christ. And every believer needs to overcome the power of this carnality. I have to learn these lessons, and I still have to learn them on a daily basis. I need to overcome these things. But thank God for Jesus, who sent his Holy Spirit, because it says we can put to death the misdeeds by the Spirit of God. We can put to death the misdeeds. Now, every one of you have been tempted. Every one of you have been led astray by socks. What have you done with it? And that's what came up through the message today. Are you being accountable with your life? We have to make this transition. I say with sadness that the majority of the church today is living as carnal Christians. That might astound you, but that what actually happens, a majority of the church comes to a place, as soon as they know that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that they are assured of their salvation, this working out the life in Christ and putting down the flesh is not a reality. They live Sunday Christianity. They come and they do the religious things, but when it comes to living out life, they don't fight this fight that we need to fight against the flesh. I come to encourage you today is that we can overcome the flesh and we can be victorious. So we're going to look at the life of Peter, who was an apostle. And the text that we use there about the life of Peter, we look at Luke chapter 22, verse 62. It might sound arbitrary, but it reads, "And he went out and wept bitterly." This text talks about a turning point where Peter turned from carnality to be spiritual, and this transition that came to his life. And if you look at the life of Peter, we're going to examine his life, but you're going to see in the life of Peter, he was very carnal. He was a man that lived under the flesh. And even though he walked with our Lord for 3 years and was exposed to the dimensions of the Spirit that none of us have really been exposed to, this carnality, this flesh, was so prevalent in his life. I come and encourage you that Peter was changed. Peter was changed, and the Lord did that incredible work in his life, and we will see the testimony through the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit came at a reality in his life. He put down the flesh, and the flesh didn't begin to rule in his life, and he became an incredible witness of Christ himself. So firstly, what were the marks of the carnal state in Peter? I love what the youth are doing. They're looking, going from selfish to selfless. And one of the big things that was in Peter's life as a mark of the flesh was selfishness. He was self-pleasing. He was self-confident. He had selfish ambition. And that needed to be broken in his life. And I'm going to go through some scriptures that just revealed some of this outworking of the flesh in his life. I'm going to be reading some scriptures. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 to 24. "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. He said, 'Never, Lord,' he said, 'this shall never happen to you.' Jesus turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind of the things of God, but the things of men.' And then Jesus says to his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" That was a direct rebuke from the Lord to Peter himself, recognizing selfishness in Peter's life. Who did Peter think that he was going to rebuke the Lord of all? Jesus knew that he needed to be the suffering Christ. Peter rose up and contradicted everything that God wanted to do on the cross. He stood up, his selfishness rose up and rebuked the living God. And that what actually happens is when we ruled with selfishness, when God speaks and God through the Holy Spirit, we in a sense rebuke him and we put him aside, because selfishness rules more in our hearts than a tenderness to the Spirit of God. Matthew chapter 18, I read from verses 1 to 4. This was the disciples saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom?" They were selfish to say that who's going to be the greatest. At the time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, who humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus dealt with the issue in their hearts immediately, their selfishness to be great. And he taught them a truth. He says, "Be like a child and humble yourself, and then you shall be great." You see, Peter, in the self-exaltation, was trying, and the disciples were trying to put themselves above others. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 34, Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But, this is Peter, but he replied, Lord, I'm ready to go to you, with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me. His self-confidence got in the way to say, this, I will do exactly what you're doing, Lord. He trusted in himself rather than trusting in God. You see, the wonderful thing about Peter, he loved the Lord, but he trusted in himself. And we can be in that same place. We can have an intimate personal relationship with God and we love him dearly, but we can trust in ourselves. And we need to break that because that is the life of the flesh when we trust in ourselves. Then again, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 to 17, the Lord asked his disciples, who am I? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied and said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you but by man, but by my Father in heaven. You see, here Peter had this incredible divine revelation. He was more privileged than all of us at that time. This revelation that not only was Jesus the Christ, which is from the Hebrews understand, was the Messiah, the one that was coming to save and to be the Savior of the world. Not only was he the Christ, but he was the Son of God. Incredible revelation came. The power of God was. But yet, Peter was still under the power of the flesh. And I bring a suggestion to you is that you can be walking in the revelation and in the wisdom of God and have an intimate relationship with God, but you can still live in the tragedy of walking in the power of your flesh. That you might have this intimacy, you might be having times with the Lord, be studying your Bible, you might be praying many, many hours, but you've never, ever, ever learnt to put down the flesh. You think you're spiritual, but you're actually living in the flesh. And I want to just say is we need to break that. Jesus said to the disciples in Mark chapter 14, verse 38, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is dead, is willing, but the flesh is weak. When the flesh starts to rule, your spirit cannot lead you and guide you. So we have an opportunity to put down the flesh. The tragedy is that Peter, in Matthew chapter 26, 74, he said, when he was asked, as you know Jesus, he said, then he began to curse and swear, I do not know the man. Immediately the rooster crowed. When you live in the flesh, you will deny the Lord. And your intention is not to do that, but you'll get to a place and you'll stand in, when you have a lifestyle of putting the flesh first, you will stand before men and you won't acknowledge the Lord as your Lord and Savior. You will deny him. And that happens. That so often that people get out into the world, they get into their business world, they get into their family environments, and they're scared to stand up for who they are in Christ, and they start to dabble in the things of the flesh and starting to get into like the into worldliness. And eventually when people challenge them on their faith, I don't do that. I don't do that. It's a danger, and we've got to be careful of that. Secondly, what were the marks of Peter, the spiritual man? Firstly, Peter had the privilege of being taught by our Lord. Seven times, Peter and the disciples were taught about humility to guard against the flesh. And the Lord taught himself. He said, humble yourself, and then you'll be exalted. The Lord came at the Last Supper and washed their feet. An absolute place. The Lord of all came and washed the feet of his disciples. And here you can see our Lord's heart, that he worked with Peter so hard, and it seemingly at the end of his life that was in vain. Peter rose up in the flesh, didn't rise up in the spirit, and it seemingly Peter got into a place where he denied the Lord. But I want to just say the good news is that God came back and restored Peter back to the right place in God. I want to encourage you. We see here, you might be in a place here today where you've been walking after the flesh. You might even be in a place where you might even feel condemned now because your lifestyle has been one of walking after the flesh and you're not spiritual. I come and I bring you hope today and say, God will never leave you nor forsake you. He wants to redeem you. He wants to bring you to a place of fullness that you can live life in the Holy Spirit. See, God has ordered that man cannot live a life, a Christian life of following Jesus, other than in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, wait that you get endued with power from on high. So often we have used the baptism of the Holy Spirit as another qualification of following Christ. No, Christian, no, beloved, you need the baptism and the fullness of the Holy Spirit not only to follow Jesus, but to overcome the power of the flesh. You cannot overcome the power of the flesh in the strength of your ability. It's an impossibility. You can never put down the flesh by your will. You need the power of God Himself that comes by the Holy Spirit to put the flesh down. It's a war that you are at, and you do not have the weapons of it unless you know the Holy Spirit and work together with Him, because He wants to enable you to overcome the socks that's within each and every one of us in our bodies and needs to be put down. And we need to be full of the Holy Spirit, not just once where we get prayed for and we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so often we construe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is now that I speak in tongues. That is the evidence of the Spirit of God within you, but it's not the power. You need the power of the Spirit of God within you to overcome and to live this life in Christ. You cannot say, oh no, I'm going to live my life in Christ. You will never meet the mark. It is futile. And that's why Jesus said to his disciples, wait. It was the promise that God had. And the Lord led Peter to Pentecost. And as the Lord led Peter to Pentecost and they were endued with power, so are you, beloved, in Christ. God wants to endue you with power too, that you can overcome like Peter and that you can have a testimony of the living God living within you. You see, when Peter and the baptism or the fullness of the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, what was there? Peter was a new man. He never walked after the flesh. There was something, it was a miracle. There was an outworking of the Spirit immediately. He no longer denied the Christ. He stood up before the crowd and he started to expound the Word of God. And we see the testimony in the book of Acts. 3,000 were added to the church. Is that an evidence of the power of God? There was Peter that walked 3 years with the Lord. Selfish, self-confident, all about himself. And then he got to that place where he realized that the flesh has destroyed him. So the third point is, what led to the change in Peter's life? Luke 22:62 says, he went out and he wept bitterly. Peter got to the place where he recognized that the flesh was destroying him. He got to that place where he could see that this that God had called him to live, he couldn't live out. And it got to the place where he thought that he was brave and he would stand with the Lord and go to prison and die with the Lord. And the Lord said to him, you will deny me 3 times. And this scripture in Luke chapter 22, verse 60 to 62, but Peter said, man, I do not know what you're saying. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. That was the third time he denied the Lord. And it says here, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. When you deny Christ, the Lord is looking at you. And his eyes are upon you and his eyes are piercing you. Have you denied the living Christ? Has your flesh led you to a place where that thing dominates you so much that Jesus is no longer your Lord? That you just live life for yourself? I want to say to you, no, that shouldn't be. Jesus wants to pierce your heart and say, no, I've got another way for you. I want to bring you back to me. And that was a turning point when Peter came to the place and he realized, I'm in trouble. And what actually happened? He turned to God and he repented. He was broken. Have you ever been broken about the power of the flesh in your life? I'm not talking about misdemeanors. I'm talking about the understanding the power of the flesh of what it's doing in your life. Have you been before God and said, Lord, I want to break this thing? Not looking at the incidence of sin, but a lifestyle in the flesh. We need to look at our hearts and we need to repent and turn back to God. In John 20, verse 19 to 23, the Lord recognizes the hearts of his disciples that they were grieving, that they were broken, and especially to Peter. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, "Peace to you. As the Father sent me, I'm also sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them, the pneuma. He said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Here the importance. God comes to restore them. He first gives them his peace. And then he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And something of importance, when he's breathed, they are breathed upon, the Spirit of God comes in and starts to transform them and bring renewal to their lives. They become new creations in Christ. And then later, the Lord comes to Peter personally. And you know that scene on Lake on the Galilee, and the Lord calls Peter aside. He says, "Come, Peter, I want to talk to you." And he puts those piercing words into his heart, where Peter had went out and wept and rebuked, denied the Lord. Jesus asks him three times. He says, "Do you love me?" And yes, he gives him some injunctions of what his purpose was and his plan that he had for him. But the question that he came to him, he said, "Do you love me?" And it came out in the command, in the prophetic word this morning, "Do you love me?" And Jesus is asking you that same question. He asks you not once, he asks you three times today, "Do you love me?" And then Jesus gives the promise. He says, "Wait that you endured with power." Because out of your love for God, God wants to give you the power of his Holy Spirit that you can overcome the flesh in your life. So I come to this point, are you spiritual or are you carnal? I want to say God's plan for you is to you to be spiritual. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be devoted to Jesus and following him. And he wants you to give up everything for him. But I ask you today, as we've been asked earlier today, will you examine your hearts? Will you examine your lives? Because God is holding you accountable for your life. Not my life, your life. I stand alone at the judgment seat of Christ for reward, all of us. But maybe this is the day of your reckoning, where you determine in God that, "Lord, this is the day that I'm going to serve you with all my heart. And I'm going to put down the power of the flesh, because the flesh, there's only evil in it, and it brings death." Romans again said you need to put it to death. There's no good snake. There's no good socks. The only way to deal with it is death. And you have to put it to death. And only you can do that. I can't do that for you. I can't do it for my wife. I cannot do it for my children. They need to fight that battle. They need to put it down. I need to do it for myself. And you need to fight that battle. But I come to you today to say to you that the Lord wants to give you of his Holy Spirit, that you would have the power to overcome your flesh. That ability that comes from heaven. Father, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That heaven wants to come and give you an ability to overcome the flesh in your life. So I come with a message today is that, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And you know, it's not a once-off. In Ephesians, it says, be continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because we need the fullness of who He is, God the Holy Spirit. You cannot live in the kingdom of God other than in Holy Spirit, the person of God living within you to overcome. And I don't want to give you a bunch of instructions of what and how to do this thing, but I know the simplicity and the power of God is only found in God the Holy Spirit. And maybe you've come here today and you're in that place. And I want to just say to you, I don't come to bring condemnation. And maybe you're looking at me today and thinking, hey, I'm not a bad person. My lifestyle is good. And you know, the degree of selfishness may not be great in your life, but there might be evidence of it in your life. And I'm telling you now, it doesn't matter if it's large or small, we need to deal with it. And we need to eradicate it. As you have those rats that might come to your house or the cockroaches that might come to your house, they've got to be eradicated. We've got to eradicate the power of the flesh in our lives. Because we cannot. I come with a message to you today. God doesn't want us to remain carnal. He doesn't want us to remain in the flesh. He wants us to live in the Spirit. And that's what Galatians says, live by the Spirit. And if you live by the Spirit, you'll put to death the misdeeds of the body. And those will arise to every one of you. So I'd like to pray with you because I don't know any other way. You might have heard this message today and I can give you a bunch of rules to do it. Go and do this and do that and then you can overcome. If you take this, you'll be better. I want to say I only see one solution that the Scripture gives. It's God the Holy Spirit. And the one that is the baptizer is Jesus Himself because He realized that heaven needed to come to earth that we can live on earth and overcome. I don't know why God allowed the SOC still to be a reality in our lives, but He has allowed it that we can overcome, that you would know the reality of God Himself. And I say again to you is this, baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit is not a qualification. It's in essence that we need it as an area of a life that is so vital for us to live this Christian life and to live in victory. So with every eye closed, and maybe if I can ask Don and your team maybe just to be playing in the background, I just want to wait on God and how He wants to deal with this matter. How do we live in the kingdom of God? By the Holy Spirit. I want to bring you the good news is that the kingdom is a matter of righteousness and peace and joy in Holy Spirit. And I want you to open up your lives to Him and let's just see what the Lord wants to do in His grace here today. As every eye is closed, you maybe be saying in your heart today, but Mark, I know this and I'm living a good life. But the question I put to you today, are you living a victorious life in the Spirit of God? And you might even say to me today, but Mark, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit many years ago. I know God. But I come with a message of hope and encouragement today. I believe that God wants to give of His Spirit here today amongst us. We sang that song, Come Holy Spirit and Fill Me. And I want to ask is maybe that's you today and you have this battle that you want to overcome. And you may have dealt with a lot of these things before, but I want to say that God wants you to be victorious on every occasion. That you'll be dominated by the Spirit of God and not by the flesh. And that the reality of the things of God would be so real to you that you can walk in freedom and in liberty. So if that's you today and you want to do business with God, not with me, and you want to be filled again with His Spirit, I want to say there's an outworking that we need to do. We need to recognize that maybe we've been dominated by the flesh. That there's been the outworking of that sinful nature in our lives. And you want to put that to naught today and put it to death. And you need the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to put that thing, the misdeeds of the body, to death today. If that's you today and you're willing to allow God to administer the Lord Himself to fill you again with your Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to raise your hand and to receive, and keep your hand up if you want to receive. I see those hands. I want to say I have my hand up because I need to do this. I fight these battles myself. And Lord, I just see these hands that are raised here today. And Lord, you teach us the road of humility. You teach us the road of surrender. You teach us in your word that apart from you, Lord, that we can do nothing. And Lord, every hand raised and every heart that is bowed before you now, I pray, Lord, that you would release from heaven the power of your Holy Spirit upon your people now. Lord, I don't only pray for the evidence of speaking in tongues, but I pray for the evidence of a victorious life. To overcome the flesh, the power of the flesh, that, Lord, lives today will be changed through that authority that we receive and through the power that you give, Holy Spirit. Every hand and every heart that is submitted to you now, Lord, we take that authority over the flesh where the scripture says, deny self, take up your cross and follow me. Lord, we stand together before you now and we deny self, self-confidence, selfish ambition, the outworking of the socks that would try and be alive and control our lives. We take authority over that and put it to death now through the power and the authority that comes in you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we say, flesh, you have no authority over our lives anymore. We will no longer be carnal, but we will be one that's be following you, that would be spiritual. And that, Lord, that you'd fill us with your Spirit. That, Lord, that our spirits would be revived again. That our hearts would be so full with you, that our lives, that we would know that we are in Christ and that you are in us. And, Lord, as we live this life out, that our lives would be victorious day by day. Day by day. So, Lord, take your people, that, Lord, they will grow into the maturity of being ones that are in the Spirit, led by the Spirit and fulfilling every purpose and plan that you have for them. That, Lord, that we'll be known as a people that love God, a people that do great exploits, that as in the book of Acts, being led by the Spirit of God, Lord, that we would impact our families, that we impact our community, we impact the places we work and the way we live, our city, our nation, and the nations of the earth. Because we have you, Holy Spirit. We realize to advance the kingdom, it's because of you. And we willingly submit to you now, Holy Spirit. Come and reveal Christ to us, that he can live his life through us, that we can be overcomers and be victorious in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can we sing that song again? Come, Holy Spirit. Sing that song, Come Holy Spirit. I think it was the second last song you sang. Let's stand and let's worship our God with that song as we continue to submit to him. Let's continue to stand and glorify him. Thank you, Lord.
Spirit of the living God, come fall afresh on me. Come wake me from my sleep. Go through the caverns of my soul, pour in me to overflow. Oh. Spirit of the living God, come fall afresh on me. Come wake me from my sleep. Blow through the caverns of my soul, pour in me to overflow. to overflow. Spirit, come and fill this place. Let your glory now invade. Oh, Spirit, come and your glory now invade. Spirit of the living God, come fall afresh on me. Come wake me from my sleep and blow through the caverns of my soul. Pour in me to overflow. Oh, Spirit of the living God, come fall afresh on me. Come wake me from my sleep. Blow through the caverns of my soul. Pour in me to overflow.
As Craig encouraged us earlier, is that sometimes the mood of the Spirit is joyous, we dance, we laugh, but today has been a more serious time where the mood is to be contemplative, to examine ourselves. And I ask you the question before you leave today, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, will the Lord find you spiritual or will He find you carnal? And I pray, and my prayer is, that you'll be found spiritual before Him, that you'll be found mature in Christ, and that your reward would be great before Him because you've pursued the ways of God and haven't held on to the ways of the world and the ways of the flesh. So as you go home today, go and contemplate what God has been saying by His Spirit today, not what I've been saying, but what the Spirit of God has been saying to you, and may your action plan to be changed day by day to serve God in His Holy Spirit. So be blessed as you follow Him. We love you. We cherish you. We want the very best for you. Go forward in the Lord. Amen. God bless you all. Amen. Those of you, come and join us for a cup of coffee.